Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Welcome and greetings to another episode of Talk Straight. This is yours truly, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery, your host and executive producer for the show. Thanks to all of you who have participated in our past 2018 dialogue. From time to time, yours truly, the host, would love to hear from you, our listening audience, to find out just what's on your mind. Hence, tonight, you got the microphone. Please join me in about another hour and a half of dialogue and conversation. Talk Straight is a seminar and lecture series, or I should say that more than that, it is a talk radio show or podcast that is really designed to open the conversation on three levels for Building Families and Communities, Missions Incorporated. This online format allows BFC Institute, which is what BFC, or Building Families and Communities Institute, to reach a national audience as well as our local audience in Nashville, Tennessee. And locally, we have the seminar and lecture series, which is also a traveling seminar and lecture. And then we have the Parent Empowerment Initiative in Nashville. And then our national initiative, again, is the Crime Intervention Advocacy. So this podcast allows us to open up conversation on that level. And we welcome you to join us tonight. Pastor Ricky Wallace has been faithfully with us, and we hope that he can join us tonight. Our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallace, he's filled in for me as I were involved in the political campaign recently. He did a fabulous job of holding up, keeping things going there. We're grateful for him. Grateful for him for that. Again, I'd like to encourage you to give us a call here. The number to call is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944. And it's just simple as you sharing with us, communicating with us. Our topic is open tonight, so we don't have a specific topic. And generally, I offer a monologue. I won't do a monologue per se. I will kind of open up a few things here in just a second. But the conversation is open to you. So whatever's on your mind, shoot it to us. Pastor Wallace has joined us. He and I will be happy to entertain your thoughts. All we ask is that you keep it relevant to what we're talking about, and let's be respectful and mindful of others' opinions. I don't necessarily expect, nor does Pastor Wallace, expect you to agree with his opinion fully, but we do open up conversation and dialogue in the interest of us all gaining something and learning something. At the end of the day, I do expect to improve the quality of lives for individuals facing socioeconomic challenges with crime and things of that nature, particularly our young men across urban America. All right, let me introduce a new feature. We haven't used this much on the podcast platform. If you are following us from the podcast, you got it either via Facebook or email, what you can do is to use the chat feature, and there you can suggest, make your questions or comments, and we'll respond accordingly from there. You'll notice that I've entered some things there in the chat room, and we're talking about our topic tonight. We're basing it in part on Claude McKay, who is the father of the concept of being black or blackness in America. All right? He has a poem there that we want to just briefly share with you, but I just want you to know that that is an option. Of course, you can always do the Facebook. We're not live streaming Facebook tonight. I'm not in a position to, I'm not at that place where we can do that. But nonetheless, you can chat with us using the chat features in the podcast platform there when you click on the link there. All right, I think we got that covered. And in the interest of moving forward, we're just going to go right into it here. Job, the 14th chapter, in the 14th verse says, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Wow, what a powerful statement. Claude McKay, who is, as I said earlier, the father of the concept of blackness or being black in America, derived this concept, or introduced it, I should say, around 1929 or so, during the Harlem Renaissance era, a period of growth intellectually, artistically, as well as sparking many political ideologies. All right? This poem, If We Must Die. If we must die, let it not be like hogs hunted and penned in an inglorious while around us bark the mad and hungry dogs, making their mark at our accused lot. If we must die, let us nobly die, so that our precious blood may not be shed in vain. Then even the monsters we defy shall be constrained to honor us, though dead. O kinsmen, we must meet the common foe. Though far outnumbered, let us show us brave, and for their thousand blows deal one death blow. What though before us lies the open grave? Like men, we'll face the murderous, cowardly pack, pressed to the wall, dying, fighting back. Again, Claude McKay. Let me open up phone lines. This is Talk Straight. The mic is open to you. Pastor Ricky Wallace on with us. Greetings, my friend. How are you?
Hey, yeah, all right. How you doing, Pastor Dockery?
Man, I'm in a fighting mood.
All right. Hey, man. Hey, man.
Pastor, I just refuse to lay down and die.
Well, that's, you're in the word when you say that. You're in a fight mood because, you know,
yes,
the word states
yes.
Pretty clear. You got to fight the good fight of faith. So
watch
that
it
is
now.
A fight.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Just, you know, you look at the circumstance, Pastor, and right now it's just you and I. The number to call is 657-383-0944, please give us a call. We'd love to entertain you and interact with you. Pastor, you look at the state of things, and we're both here in Nashville. This is a good example of what I'm talking about. I saw where some developers wanted to put essentially a high tower or a skyscraper right in the middle of a residential neighborhood over off of West End and Murphy Road. Okay? Now, they did that a lot in the African-American neighborhood, haven't they, over the last 2 years? A lot of that has been happening, ain't it?
Yeah, it's been going on.
Yeah. But now watch this. Our white brothers and sisters, they came out in full force, man. They got picket signs and everything, and they said, we don't want it. They took over the news, took over the council meeting and everything. They said, we're going to be down there, and we want y'all to know we don't want it. So I'm looking for two things, one or two things, Pastor. I'm looking for either the council to cave and disapprove this development, or for those same white brothers and sisters to express themselves and their strength during the next election that's coming up in 2019. Now, I'm just curious to see how that's going to pan out, man. I know with us, we lay down and die, man. We take anything. What about that?
You know, that is interesting. You know, you either stand for something or you will fall for anything. And if it's not suitable for the location and, you know, you don't stand up, you know, they have that right to do even if it's wrong.
Right.
That, you know, that to me is evidence of what sleepwalkers are. And I've been one myself for many years. And so I didn't have a knowledge of what was going on. And before I was awake, it was already done. So that could be one of the things that's happening that will allow things like happen when others stand up and say, look, we don't want that. And rightfully so, why would you want something like that that's not, you know, with the right energy and it's not actually for your good? The best interest of heart. So, you know, it's interesting all the way around how things would take place like that in your neighborhood, in your community as a whole, and what is the purpose of it? So that's where it all boils down. What is the motive? You know,
go. When the developer comes in, man, they build this big old skyscraper, and they're not looking to live there. They say it's going to be a hotel, and it'll have some restaurants and some office, right? But the people there have their homes and their properties and what have you. That's been a residential neighborhood for years. They don't want to have all that traffic come through there and to totally change. That's over in Sylvan Park area. I think that's over near where you are. Sylvan Park, White Bridge Road, West End, Green Hills area. All those areas are going to be affected. And you know who live over there. And they said, no, that's how we ain't going to hunt.
Yeah, they decided to step up and say that we're not going to have it.
So your phone is breaking up a little bit there, Pastor.
Yeah, that's what I was getting when you were talking. Yeah, that's some of the things that you just shared, that they said they're not having it and they're not going to just sit back and allow it without a fight. It boils down to, sad to say that, you know, it's going to take that in order for, you know, one to make their presence known and let them know that they have a right to step up and be against it. You know, it's what it's about. Now, whether it come out in their favor or not, you know, at least they stood up.
We're going to see them.
Yeah, that's how we find out.
Well, so how was your holiday?
Man, I take each day for what it be, and I'm one of them that, I'm in favor of the word of God today, so I don't want to get ahead of his day, because he said this is the day that the Lord has made, and I always like to stand on it. And he said, you know, we must be glad and rejoice in it. So I'm just thankful for the day when it approached. I got out of my plan a long time ago, Pastor, purposely, you know. I made sure I had to do that in order to break down what it is that's causing, as you just said, you know, so many things to take place you know, people, you know, give more attention to something that doesn't have the value of what the Word of God has. And when I seen that in there, I was like, man, I can't do a whole lot of planning like I used to do years ago in my ignorance. And when he said, this is the day that the Lord has made, he said, be glad and rejoice in it. I was thinking, my goodness. So I don't take it any other way now other than maybe stay for what it be and don't try to resist it, man. It's been interesting, though. A lot of things that I would say this, Pastor, if it was in my reach, I believe I would change some things already before it's time, before it takes place. But
interesting.
Being that I know I've learned how to be content in whatever state I'm in, it's not easy to do, but I've learned it. Still in the learning phase. And,
So other than that,
it's been all right. How about yourself, man?
Well, we're good. I have my son here in town and helped us do some lifting around. Had some work to catch up on that we neglected during the campaign.
Right. I can imagine.
Yeah, he's since returned to Cleveland. But we're grateful. We're grateful.
That's good, man. I think if you show we're doing a lot of work on the trail, too. So I can imagine you making up some things, you know. Yeah.
Well,
yes, sir.
Well, you know, the wife don't have that too long. You know,
yeah.
I do have a boss. Well, I guess I got two bosses.
Okay. Yeah.
Like the man upstairs,
after all.
The woman that's
there. Yes, sir.
But, so outside of that, we're grateful. But, you know, just looking at things and looking at the year ahead, we're hoping to bring those people that we tapped before we went on the campaign to get with them and hopefully have them show with us. December is pretty much after this week is December, man. I mean, and you know how that a brand new year.
It's sweating down, bro.
Yes, sir. Looking alive. In preparation for our travels, we're looking to get back on the road again and do some reach areas that we talked. And I made mention in monologue about our local initiatives, those being the podcast itself, of course, but more specifically the lecture and parent empowerment initiative. It's becoming ever increasingly aware to me that there's still a tremendous need for a lot of good people who are raising young people today, Pastor, young men in particular, who are at threat to literally die over here near my way in North Nashville. 18-year-old shot in the neck the other night, man. And I said, wow. You know, and sometimes people ask, well, where were their family? You know, what were they doing out there? And it seems insensitive to ask those things, you know. But in reality, if we're going to help prevent those things, it does help to try to manage some of the things that lead to them. But what do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it would be quite, you know, a joy to know that you can get ahead of the game and find out what's causing it and see if we can do something about it, because there is a, you know, of course, you know, I deal with sports and I know how, you know, in offense and defense, you know, it's part of the game. So how can you prevent things from happening? I mean, you have to have the right instructor, you know, to follow and have to have a winning heart, you know, to walk into the solution about certain things that's going on. And that's one of the tools that I can just admit that I believe it will cause things to change with the right tools. Without the right tools, you know, things that would continue like it was or like it has been. You know, but with the right tools, they can be corrected. You said something earlier about it in the Word of God, and I think that was beneficial to my desire even much more, because she says what Job said in the 14th chapter. I remember he was saying from the 14th verse. Out of that is, you know, when the question was asked, if a man dies, shall he live again? In all of my appointed time, I'm going to wait until my change comes. So change is possible, basically, what I'm saying.
Yes.
With the right information, you got the right information. Okay. Other than that, when the people don't tap into the right information, you have a self-destruction way of living, if you don't mind me saying, a way of living. Could you imagine a self-destruction way of living? Oh, man.
Right.
It means need more of it. But
sure. Pastor, we've been joined by Mama Dia, Peoria. She's on the line with us now.
Okay.
Take a moment. How you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I pretty much just want to tune in and listen. I started not to call, but I wasn't sitting there good this weekend, so I just don't want to listen in. Show my support and love.
Amen.
It's just Pastor Robin now. If he says something off the cuff, you be sure to get him straight, okay? We hear you. Just lay back, right? He get out of order. You know what to do.
Okay, that's all right.
8-1-12, how you doing?
I'm hanging in there by the grace of God. I feel better now there from Friday to Monday, so.
Oh,
okay.
Boy. I ain't going to complain.
Mighty good.
Okay. All right. Long you stay beautiful, that's all that matters to us. You know what I mean?
I'm working on it. I got pastor makeup.
On top.
So, Pastor, you were saying something about Job. If I could, I'd like to just go back there just for a second and draw something out. You said the question was posed, if you die, as if to say you have an option about that. Well, then it goes on to say, shall he live again? So what that means, how you going to, if you're dead, how you going to be alive again? I mean, help me with that.
Yeah, man, that's the thing that is making, I remember, the scripture also says somewhere, and it says, I once was lost, now found, it's got things like that. And, when you find out, you was blind, but now you see, just things like that being said. So, in other words, you can walk around dead in sin, dead in a certain way of, dead in the thing that you're dead in. And I've been there in the realm of those tools that caused me to be dead, but once I was made alive, I was able to live again. So that means that there's a part in the book that I read talking about I was the walking dead.
Eyes
wide open. Couldn't even see.
By the way, I'm sorry to cut you off. My brother called me, and he said he was on a trip, and he had a chance to read your book, man.
Oh, man, awesome. That's awesome.
Said he had a chance to read your book, and he asked me about it. I said, well, why don't you call in and ask Pastor Wallace sometime?
That's awesome.
Specifically, he was wondering about you talked about how you forsook your talent. And he wanted to know a little bit more about that that you totally get rid of it. I said, well, no, he's still mean with that ball now. Them little dudes out on the street, they love when they see him doing so. But it's interesting because there are a lot of people who feel as though if they miss out on what they hope to do, that in some kind of way their dreams die and they just walk away from it, Pastor. A natural gift that God has given. They just forsake it and give up on it. Can you speak to that a little bit?
That's a good question. And I would like to let your brother know that's a very good question, and I like that question basically because I ended up picking the ball back up and started to want to see things myself that I used to do with the ball that I never had a chance to see. And, of course, you can be videoed on the phone and different things like that. But back when I came up, I never seen me do anything. I just was handling the ball. And when I discovered that you got caught up into the street life and I was stripped from going on to college and with the possibility that maybe I may have went on into the league, you know, things like that. And when I got a chance to see it for myself, I said, man, and now I see what the people are talking about how I was with the ball. Nevertheless, forsaken talent means that after I said that, I said I was sending a message to the youth to let them know when they do have a gift, and then they get the book, and they wouldn't have to go through that if they happen to read it and find out what happened to me. Because things like this were said, people used to ask me what college was I going to and things like that. Okay. And I used to respond in an insane way, not intentionally. I used to say things like this. I said, college? Why would I go to college and take a chance on breaking my ankle? You know what I said? I'm making more money now than I would going to somebody's college. I remember saying things like that. But when I wrote the book, I said, how dumb does that sound? He got me. See what happened? The enemy had my mind, you know, he had like a strong grip on my mind that I said things like that instead of, you know, believing that that's a possibility if I just get in school some kind of way. But the drugs and the things like that controlled my life. That's what I mentioned by forsaken talent. You know, couldn't see how good I was. Didn't know the love that I had for the game. You know, some people, and I say this and turn it back over to you, some people will even come up and they'll say that I'm going to go into the NBA. I'm going to go into the NFL. I never said those things about my life when I came up. Even as good as it was, that I never said I was going to go. I never planned to go to the pros or anything like that. But now that I think about it, I'm like, man, look at the grip that the enemy had on me, man. It wouldn't even let me see. I had the ball in my hand, and, you know, I was in the streets, but I still had the ball in my hand and couldn't even – I was dead, actually. I was dead and couldn't even – but when I came to myself and realized – so now I picked the ball back up. Make a long story short, I do so much with the ball now just for joy. I, you know, not to say, you know, of course, the age I am now, I don't think about the NBA or nothing like that, but just the joy of knowing that it's a gift. And maybe a group of young people today may be able to help them see that they don't have to go that route. So that's what Forsaken Talent was all about. And, I'm thankful for your brother asking that question, man.
Yeah. He got a chance to read the book, and that was one of the things that came in the book. In case you're listening, this is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Our topic is open to you. The microphones are open tonight. If you have a topic, something you want to talk about, just hit us up here. We're not doing live stream Facebook. However, we are using our chat menu on the podcast platform. You can shoot your questions there. If you're looking at the you're listening to us live from the podcast, you can go on the chat and enter your question or comments or give us a call here, 657-383-0944. Pastor Ricky Waller is on with us, and our good friend from Peoria, Illinois, Mama D, a.k.a., is just listening in with us. I did want to kind of turn the conversation somewhere else, Pastor.
All right.
You know of my experience, and I've been contemplating how we can best. So, I've been talking with the Lord, right, about the campaign and our motives and intentions for entering in the campaign, things that we wanted to do from a legislative position. And so the Lord threw it back at me and said, now, because you're not there, what will you do now with the opportunity that you have and the information you've gained just in this last 6 to 8 months? One of them in particular that keeps coming to me is DeMario. You may know him, the young man who has the journalistic instinct and potential, who interviewed me, you know. And then the other little fellow is Taekwon DeMario's out of West Nashville, over in the Preston Taylor housing area. And Taekwon is in Nashville out of the Casey Holmes. Similar experiences.
Right.
Both of them have great potential. Now, do we say that because the odds are against us, Pastor, we're just going to just let those things unfold as they want to and just walk away. You know, because there is a risk there. Now, you help me out with it. And, Mama D, if you feel like it, jump in. There is a risk that when you go to try to help folks and they slow to help themselves, you can hurt yourself. Is that true, Pastor?
Yeah, I mean, if it's a strain, I mean, if it's a strain, or if you know how to have the compassion, that's having compassion is one thing, but, you know, being forceful with it is another.
Right.
Right. And I don't think that would be the appropriate way. It's knowing how to go forward toward them with information more so than becoming frustrated, because it can cause you to, as you say, be in an awkward position, be straining yourself, trying to do something that you probably need some information on how to go about doing it. Or you could be able to just look at maybe one's life, yourself, as how you once was and how difficult it was for you, and you had to learn how to gradually get the information. You have to feed them like a babe, you know what I mean? Give them the sensitive lip of the word, that they can grow into it, basically, without giving them too much, you know what I mean, that they can't handle.
So what I discovered, it's not so much the children that's the problem, Pastor.
Right.
But it's adults on some level.
I agree with that.
Either the people they look to for leadership, they look to for guidance, or the people that their parents. Some kind of way, those people got to change their mind and the way they behave and their actions in the interest of their children. So do we just take them away from them? Do we make a case that they are being neglected and they need to be removed from those parents? I mean, because, you know, and then, you know, then you have the situation where the parents are looking to the preacher or to the elected officials to provide them certain resources for them to take care of their children. But at the end of the day, the children are the ones that lose out, man. They're the ones that get their lick hard. So who we really need to deal with, the babies or the grown folks?
Whoever your 8112 shot, you want to take a shot at 8112?
I think you start with the grown-ups, because the kids are what they are. They're children. They have to be taught certain things and nurtured in certain ways. And then no parent, as far as I know, is perfect. So that means we all make mistakes sometimes along the way. However great we think we are, sometimes kids just don't always see it that way. As adults, we don't listen because they can't have their way. And things just don't supposed to work like that. They have to be disciplined. And as far as blaming parents, some of them should be blamed because they're the reason why some of them actually got their kids out there.
That's true.
And there's others that don't even know they out there.
Right.
Like
right.
that. Might think they over a friend house or anything.
Right. I'm sure your mom did this for you too, Mama D. You felt like she was being too strict because she was trying to keep you away from certain negative influences, you know? And you felt like she was trying to stop you from having fun. At what point do parents cut that off and say, not that I don't care. That's not what I mean. That's not the most important thing, how you feel right now. I've got to keep you safe.
I think
that's a struggle for a lot of parents.
I feel like grows up to be a young woman or a young man, and I think the age bracket on there is 18 years old, personally, male or female.
Okay.
I think that they have every right to be able to spread their wings and learn life lessons. How would they know if you can't tell anyone everything? They have to get out and get them crumbs until they get bread slices themselves.
It's interesting you say that, Mama D, because I'm increasing. Now, this may sound like a hard position to take, I'm at the point now, I don't give nobody no more bread. Don't give out no more bread.
Oh,
just
you will.
Pass out. Wait a minute, listen. Look, Bubba D, look, watch this. Rather than giving them bread, give out flour, give out meal, give out wheat, and
mm-hmm.
give them some water. Tell them, go make you a loaf. Is that too hot?
Back in the day, it's hard for these folks, some of them, because they're not willing to learn how to plant the seeds. Part of them, I have my kids, have boys and my girls out there. The girls complain about their fingernails, and the youngest baby son is the only one that got down on his hands and knees and helped me plant that garden and follow directions.
Is that right?
And his grew. There's some
right.
of them never got off the ground because they'd even try to. And uh-huh. see, they got their pretty nails, but if they had to plant a seed to feed themselves, that part they wouldn't know how to do. They smart in all other ways, but that one, they ain't going to be able to do it for you.
Well, I'm going to say something that I know is controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway. Suppose people that are getting welfare checks, getting food stamps, were told, we're going to give you 3 acres of land, and we're going to give you the seed to produce your own food. That's your welfare. What will happen?
They're going to starve part of them, shit.
What?
I won't, because I
wait
plant me one.
wait a minute,
half of them won't be able to eat, and that's the truth.
My God. What about that, Pastor? Well, now, come on now. What you trying to say about these people?
She know exactly how she would go about it. I know that with no hesitation. I'm
talking about the angry people that are saying Black Lives Matter. We want justice, no peace. If you told them from now on, you don't get to go and get food that's prepared, you're going to have to work to prepare your food. What would happen? Would that be fair?
The ones you talking about, Black Lives don't matter or whatever, they're part of
Black
them. Part of them are starved too. If they told them to go plant it, because they wouldn't know how to plant it, most of them.
So they don't really know what they're talking about then, huh?
Not 100%. Some of them don't.
That's the problem in urban America. People have been socialized and conditioned so much to depend on some level, someone else to provide for them food, shelter, clothing, and their whole quality of life that they can't function without it anymore. You know, if you told them you can't have food stamps no more, you can't have a link card, you're going to have to go out there and get your hands dirty in the ground and produce your food. You mean to tell me they will starve and die? That don't sound right. That sounds like something the Republicans would say. Outcast. What about that, Outcast?
Well, thing is this. Individuals do what they do. Yes, they're self-dependent. You know, as long as they can get something free. Yeah, you know, they're going to, you know, they'll take it. Crossing that bridge every time. I think I get a little free time, something else come up. I had to switch jobs. You know,
okay.
You know, of course, more money and is for my health also. But thing is this, I work for what I want. I work, I pay my rent.
You.
I don't ask nobody for a doggone cent.
I
Republicans nor Democrats.
Well, we were just talking about the struggle, Outcast, of people specifically in life in general, but in urban America. And I was just asking that question. If it came down to it, to where we had to go back to where it was in the South, where people came from, you know, to produce. Huh? Well, what's that? What do you think happened?
No, go ahead, and I'll tell you what happened.
Okay. And the challenge is that even young men, Pastor Waller, are of the notion it should come quick. And it becomes easy for me because I see everybody else living the quote American dream.
You kind of go in and out.
And,
you You gotta go ahead and not fade in and out.
Your phone is breaking up. Talking your phone again.
Yeah,
you're breaking up.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm hearing on your end, that the phone is breaking up. That's why I don't know if you can hear me better now. I was hearing you, but it was breaking up. I didn't get a chance to hear you very clear.
Yeah, you still chopping up some kind of way. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, and it's still doing it.
I wonder if that's our, I don't think that's the studio here that's doing it. Say something,
A112. It cleared up now. It cleared up.
Yeah, it's cleared up now.
All right,
yeah.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead. Oh, man, that must have been me. Boy, I see. I told you, black folk ain't going to do right. Go ahead, Pastor. What were you saying there?
Yeah, but I didn't get a chance to hear what you was asking. That's the thing I was saying, you know, because
it
was breaking up.
I was asking, Pastor, that if it was a situation where the government said, we're no longer going to give you food stamps or link cards or assistance, public assistance, but we will give you 2 or 3 acres of land, we'll give you the seed and the tools to develop and produce your own food, what would happen? 8112 and Outkast, they said folk would just starve to death. Outkast said, I don't need nobody to give me nothing. I'd do it for myself. And I said
Where's that?
It sounds like some, what do you say, 8112?
Never mind, I'm sorry, I was telling someone else.
Oh, I just wondered if that's part of the problem for young men, Pastor, today, the notion that it should come quick and easy. I shouldn't have to think for it. I shouldn't have to work. And it should be automatic because, you know, I'm black and I deserve it. What about that, Pastor?
Well, I would tell you like this. I know if you was saying that they were going to give, the government is going to give. But, when you get something that's rightfully yours and, you know, if that's what the giving is about, you know, because if you give me something that belongs to me, that's rightfully mine, and I have a right to do what I want to do with it, I think there'll be some growth to it, you know what I mean? Because, number one, it's rightfully mine anyway, and now I got a chance to, you know, to carry it out and to make the best of what I have.
Interesting.
You know, and I just look at it like that, you know, and that's what survival is all about. It's like, now that I got what I need in my hand to do what needs to be done, then I should be able to grow, you know, through the process. In other words, if I'm grateful enough to say, oh, man, the time has come. I've been waiting such a long time, you know what I mean, to get what's rightfully mine. And now I can make what I have now work for me. You know, it's tough, man. You know, it's tough when you have someone to have the advantage of you. Let me just put it like this, like the word says, unless Satan get the advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. So, you know, maybe somebody's humble enough to say, this is rightfully yours, here it is, and now you can go and do what needs to be done to carry it out. I think a lot of people would grow behind that. You know, that's the way I would look at it.
Okay. You know, it was the same argument that General Sherman made at the end of the Civil War when he suggested giving freed Negroes 40 acres and a mule. And Outkast, some of them got 40 acres, and they got a mule. But guess what they didn't have to go with it? They didn't have the knowledge of business and economics. And so many of them entered into contracts with their land, and they lost it because they breached their contract because they didn't understand business and they didn't understand contractual agreements and things of that nature. So I wonder if that's hurting them even more, even if you just gave them 3 acres of land and gave them the stuff. Is that what we need, Al-Kai? What is it that we need, man?
Let me state this. That was a hidden part of history. It has never came to the forefront. It has always been said that Negroes, period, didn't get the 40 acres in the mule.
That's not true. That is not true.
Okay. This is why this is here, and education is show also. But the thing is You know, like, you know, they just lack the intelligence. You know, they lack the business aspect of it, you know, as you stated. And giving them some mules, well, giving them some land now and some equipment, you know, that's a death. That would be a death for a lot of Negroes. I will tell you the truth. They'll sell the equipment, sell the land, run straight to the crack house or the dope man and get them some dope and do what they do.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
You know, it's a death sentence. You know,
man.
You know, I know it sounds
there's
hard.
There's something else there, boy. Man,
hey, it's the truth, though. You know, it's just like giving
them.
Wait a minute.
Outcast, I can't let you say that about my people. I can't.
I can and I will. What it is, what it is.
Woo!
You know?
Wow.
And they get back and they can cry and holler and scream. You know, somebody had their foot on their neck, but I think that's the other way around. They had their feet, both feet, on their own neck, stomping it.
Mm.
You know,
mm.
You know, why you sitting up blaming someone else? Get on out there and do what you do. You know, I mean,
right.
Those I am, you know. I mean, boy, Thanksgiving Eve, that Wednesday, I left a job.
Yeah.
I just flat foot quit. But guess what? Came Friday, my phone was ringing off the hook. And I was going for more money. And I got more money. You know?
Okay.
I left a job Wednesday. And got one Friday. Went in today. Now, tell me what's wrong with that picture. If you want it, you go get it. If you wanted to, go get it. Yeah, as long as someone can provide them food, shelter, clothing, and link cars and all that, yeah, they're going to go for it. But once all this is slowly taken away from them, I guess a lot of them end up in prison, too. And I'm a hole right there. I don't talk too much that way. You know, I just don't I don't have any sympathy for them, you know.
No, okay.
I do not.
I hear that.
And them little tails, I don't buy.
Okay. Pastor Wallace said something that was very interesting to me. He said that if somebody gave me something, that correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, that was rightfully due me. How do you give somebody something that is already theirs? That's what can you help me explain it to me like I'm 3 years old?
Yeah, I mean, if you're in a race and, you know, if you got a head start on me, you automatic, you know, you're supposed to automatic win because you got the advantage. If you've taken something from me and find a way to humble yourself and discover that you actually taking something away from me and you know you was wrong, and you decide you're going to give me what's rightfully mine, not only did you take it from me, then you charge me with, like, as if I was wrong because you took it. But now that you got an open mind now and you came to yourself, you know what I mean, as the man that, you know, that was going around mistreating people, misusing people, and he came to himself and went to the Lord, and he said, Lord, he said, I'm going to give half my goods to the poor. And if I've done anything with accusation, I'm going to give him four times as much as I've done to him. In other words, he know he had done wrong to some people, and he's going to give him four times as much to them. So that's something that's rightfully mine. I mean, that's the way I would look at that, if that was the case. Since that's the case, the person who has been given that back may even be inspired by it and do something positive and make it work, you know. I just look at it in that manner because it's – go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I apologize.
Stir the thought,
because how I think this is useful tonight is if today we got 100 of these young guys, like the little dude that was in that house that got killed, the one that shot the young man, the 16-year-old in the house, and I don't know what happened, so I really can't speak to it, but all we know is that 16-year-old is dead, right? High schooler. Well, make a long story short, if we got the fellow that pulled the trick out, okay, we got 100 of them, right? The question is, and we had 90 days to get them right. What do we tell them? What do we focus on? Are we telling them that the world owes them something? Are we telling them that they must work by the sweat of their brows to have what they want,
what,
legally?
Work by the sweat of their brow for what they want. That's the most logical answer. You know, the world owes them nothing. You know, I mean, what I have, I earned, you know.
Mm.
So therefore, if someone come to me telling me that they going to take what I have and give it to me, I'm going to go back and rebel. Why? How can you give me something that's already mine?
Right.
You know, how? I mean, how can you, you know?
It's not like you'd be ready to invoke the Second Amendment then, huh? If they try to take away from you what's yours.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, when I came into this world, the world owed me nothing. It was left up to me to make a way and provide for myself, not use
Henry's
crutch and things in that nature, you know, like someone is holding me back, you know.
Mm.
The only one that holds one back is themselves. You know, all of us, you know, we've talked a whole lot, you know, about different things. I still stand on this statement. If a man or woman have a driver license in their pocket, they have a job.
Right.
If they don't have a driver license, go get you one. Put F endorsement on it. And I'm going to hold.
Right. Well, I asked that question because it seems to me that there is this around the country, it's not just black children either, it's some white children, who feel as though they are entitled and that society has to provide them certain comforts or certain amenities of life for them to be happy and to pursue happiness. And it just cheats them of the motivation, the will, the desire to produce something for themselves. You know what I'm saying? Am I wrong about that, Mama D? I'm not going off the cuff, am I, Mama D?
I don't know. I know this. It's the black children, a lot of them in urban America that y'all speak so frequently about. Those are the ones, they want, a lot of them do want better.
Okay.
They just have not, some of them have not been shown the correct way how to go about get it and make it and keep it better. So it depends on where you're from, who you're dealing with in your life.
Mm.
A whole lot of things is a factor in it, is my point.
Okay. I like what you're saying because if we're going to be honest about it, incidentally, guys, I was invited to a town hall and three of the people that were elected recently here locally are going to be facilitating the town hall. And in my first mind, I said, no, I don't think I'm a fool with it. But the truth of the matter is, you know, we got to, I believe it's important that we tell people that you have a right to produce something for yourself. And there are opportunities, there are resources that are available, but you got to take advantage of them, right? We cannot continue to suggest to people that it's okay to be lazy expect the best life has to offer.
Amen.
Where did I go wrong there, guys? Where did I go wrong?
Nowhere. You didn't.
I mean,
you did not. You probably see some that a lot of people didn't want to hear, but told the truth on that issue.
You did tell the truth. And at the same time, there's a lot of people that's not equipped with the things that some people have once again, and they're not lazy and will work their butt off.
Good point. So is that what we should be telling them? If so, 8112, if we get those 100 young cats,
it sounded
in one
muffled.
Room,
muffled again.
Oh, okay. How's that?
Sound better, I think.
Is that better now?
Nope.
Is that better now?
Nope.
Uh-oh. Okay. Let's see. Let's make an adjustment here. Is that a little bit better?
Yeah. Yes, that's better.
Can you hear me better now?
It's like in and out, but at the moment, yes.
Huh?
It's going in and out. It could be the weather. You know, it's pretty cold here. Yeah.
Well, it may be this the podcast here, but this is the second time I've had that issue with it. But so okay, how's that? Is that better, guys?
Yes.
Yeah, it's better.
Okay.
Now, you
right.
know, it's just
going
in and out
every
now
and then. I think I know what it is. So, if we had those 100 guys, then it sounds like to me what we should be focusing on more than anything else is you said there some people are not equipped with the resources or the information they need, right? So, maybe what we should be focusing on is teaching them how to acquire the necessary tools to be productive.
Okay.
How about that?
That sounds
yeah.
good.
And then once they acquire those tools,
mm-hmm.
they can go out and produce for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
That's what Outkast is saying. That's what Outkast is saying. He wasn't,
well,
I'm sorry, say that again.
Sounded as if the way you said it and he said it, it just sounded two different ways, but the same thing, I guess.
Yeah, I think in essence that's what he's saying is he's taking a harder stance. He's taking a harder stance.
Yeah.
We're taking a more milder approach to it. But
okay.
what I keep hearing young people, when I hear people out protesting, I hear them out rioting and things of that nature, what I'm hearing them say is, give it to me. I don't want to have to work for it. I want it here. I want it now.
Okay.
And, well, I mean, in what world does it work like that, though? You know what I mean?
Not in the real world.
Not in
the
real world.
The Word of God says, if you don't work, you don't eat. It does say that.
That's what the Bible
but
says.
There is a lot of people that actually that's working. I mean, when you're out there doing the will of the enemy, that's work, man.
I'm talking about either way.
It's work because I'm gonna give you a very, very good scenario, and this is like the Word of God does say this. It says that we may come to our senses and escape the
mm-hmm.
snare, the trap of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his work.
Right.
So that's work, and I mean it's
right.
according to. You know, some people think that that's the only way they're going to eat, and they're doing the work of the enemy versus doing the work inside the will of God. So it's just about how can you tell the difference between the two sometimes. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you know, they both look alike, got the same kind of outfit on and things like that. And so, you know, live in the same kind of house, you understand? But see, one is getting it, you know, one is getting it honestly, you understand what I'm saying? The other one may say, well, I'm getting honest too. I've got to eat. I don't know. It's tough, man. It's tough, man. You take that same dollar bill and you go into some store, you understand what I'm saying? And you say, well, where you come from? Do you work for God or do you work for the enemy? The same dollar bill,
well,
or do they take it? They working,
man. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's true.
My goodness.
But you're working by virtue that you're burning energy. Now, here's the thing. If I dig a pile of dirt, Pastor, right,
mm-hmm.
and I throw that dirt right back in where I dug, am I working against myself, though?
You throw that
really
pile of dirt.
You planted something or not?
Well,
mm.
no, I'm just digging dirt, man. Huh? And I'm supposed to dig a hole to work with. But I keep throwing the same dirt back in the hole. Am I working against myself? And that's my whole point.
Eventually, you're going to get tired of throwing this back in the same hole and you're not going to make it.
Because that's insane, ain't it, 8112? That's insane, ain't it? That's just
yes,
insane right there.
Yeah,
I'm continuing in the same behavior, looking for a different outcome. That's insane. That is insane. And all I'm saying is we got young people, our babies are growing up with the notion that the nicer things in life should be afforded you with less sacrifice and less investment. Now, I'm going to go to Outkast with entrepreneur. We've got to, if we get those 100 young cats under one roof, one of the main things we can teach them are the principles of entrepreneurship. If you do that right, man, who going to stop you from having what you want? Not only in America, but in the world.
That's right. And I agree 100%, sir. You're right.
That would be great.
What I'm getting at is, it's one thing to just say we need to get our young men and pull them off the street. Yes, that's true. But when you pull them off the street, who's going to be talking to them, and what are you going to be telling them? Because there's some people they don't need to be around. Some folk are bad influence on them. Help me, Holy Ghost. And some of them got collars around their neck, Pastor Walker. They must be preachers. I got to talk straight tonight now. That's all I do is talk straight.
My goodness,
but,
listen to that.
I mean, you know, some of them been elected to public office, and they still ain't good for them. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But if a man dies, does he have a shot at living again? That's where the young cats are when we talk about a second chance. If he dies, does he have a shot at living again? If I had to preach, I didn't come to preach, but if that was my, if I had to preach tonight, until you put a gun to me, okay, I said, preach, boy. I'd take that as a theme. If he dies, does he have a shot at living again?
Yes, he does.
All right. That's good news. Job said, I'm going to wait, because he already knew his change was coming. But he said, I'm going to wait until my change comes. And all
see,
my point in time.
That's the key right there. See, that's the key. When somebody's working, and they're working and doing the best that they can with what they got, even though they don't want to do what they're doing, they're just still waiting for the change to come.
Right.
And a lot of people don't even know that they're waiting, you see?
That's
you know,
it.
Because they
that's
can
it.
Have that judge stick. They can have that judgment stick. Right, you know, saying you ought to be this, you ought to be saying that people actually are waiting, like the word of God says, they that wait. You have to have strength sometimes to wait. You know what I mean? That's not easy. That is tough.
Right.
You know, especially when you find out there comes some good examples out there, and then you already know you're feeling bad because of what you're doing, and you got 100 people now, as you say, that you got the young brothers out there, and you're trying to bring them together to let them know and teach them some things, and they've become willing. But in the meantime, the cost of living is still before them.
Yeah, that's true.
As long as it's going up, you know what I mean? They say, look, they're starting to grow up, and then that change will take place. So that's the thing, you know. But sometimes before that change takes place, they're out there in the street doing whatever they're doing, and they get caught and they go to jail. And people are not going to say, well, I know you're waiting on your change to come. They're going to give them the time and let them go wait on over there somewhere with the time that they get there.
Right.
Versus to say, I understand that you really wanted to change, but you just so happened didn't change in time.
Interesting.
What about those for failure before they ever begun?
Good. Wow. You know what? I was just going to go to 8112. What about those who meet failure before they even get going good? You know, 8112, when he was talking, Pastor Wall was talking, I was thinking about it. This has been a few years ago now. But I helped this young man. We helped him put together a resume, right? And there were a couple of managers of some fast foods that I knew. They were, working with me through the nonprofit. And so he hired the guy. And when I was talking with him and coaching him and so forth, I said, look, man, don't go in there like everybody else. Make sure your uniform is clean.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can iron it. Make sure you stand out above everybody else. When you go in there, try to learn the best you can what's expected of you and try to go above and beyond. Do you know that after about 6 months or so, this was a McDonald's store, after about 6 months or so, his manager came to him and said, look, you're doing something right. He says, I'm looking at the way you come in here, the way you carry yourself, and your clothes. He pointed out about four or five of his co-workers whose shirts were wrinkled, and it was clear that they'd wore them pants two or three times before, right? And he said, look at you. Do you know he promoted him right then? And I said to him, look, man, I'm not suggesting you got to work for McDonald's all your life, but that's how you stand out, man, and that will bring you better opportunities.
And
you know what I'm saying?
You told him
that. That was awesome.
You took the time to care enough to tell him that.
Well, sure. Well, I mean, Right. That's what we. That's you know that was a, we. That's what we do through a nonprofit. But I'm saying that to say that you were saying, what if you meet failure when you first start? And that's where a lot of cats start off. 8112. They are of the mindset, this ain't gonna work because I have to do all of this and I'm only getting paid X, Y, Z. It's not so much right then about how much you're being paid.
Yeah,
but
cause
it's
you wouldn't have nothing at first.
Right. It's a stepping stone. That's where you look at it. You're not going to start out making $1 billion. I mean, come on now, working for somebody else. But the longer you stay there and the more you learn, you'll position yourself to one day own your own restaurant, maybe. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could if that's, you know what I mean?
It ain't
impossible. That's the point. Right, that's the point. But to Outcast's point, it ain't going to fall out the sky for you.
No.
You're going to have to put some work in. I mean, you're going to have to do something to take care of yourself and expect that your efforts will pay off in the long run. You know what
right.
I'm saying? I mean, it may not be like you want it today, but you're not, it ain't over for you. You just started. You just got out the gate, man. I mean,
did jobs, didn't want them doing everything else, cried when they got home, still had to come home and work like a slave with the kids. But one day
that's
they'll
what's
be
up.
Gone. Mine did it.
Right.
I could do it for them.
There you go. There you go. There you go. And that's where it is. That's where it is. Okay. In case you listen, we still got about 22 minutes. Let's talk straight. 657-383-0944. We've covered a few things here. But it's open mic night tonight. Open mic night. Want to hear from you. Outcast, I was just telling Pastor Waller that we're about to go in 2019. Woo! Is it going to get any better, Outcast?
I hope so. You know, I always look for brighter days, better times, you know. I'm never going to say never, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I have the thought that you know, sooner or later it'll get better, but it's going to take a whole lot of men, you know, like yourself and Rebel Waller and 3112 to make a difference, one person at a time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I may be speaking ahead of, a little bit ahead of myself, but 8112, we've already we've identified who the council person is that we're looking to work with there, and Lord willing. Yeah, around the first of next year, we hope to be able to be there in Peoria, setting up camp.
Isn't that wonderful? That'll be a wonderful
blessing. Yeah. Well, probably could have done a little quicker if I didn't waste my time on. Did I waste my time, Outcast, on the political campaign? I didn't waste my time for the Outcast.
No, you did not.
Yes, sir. So one other thing I guess I wanted to, we've been talking about this a lot too, and I know 8112 brought it up. She was saying that when you say urban America, that has a somewhat of a negative sound to it or connotation perhaps. But it does specifically identify a certain group of people that lives in urban America. Now, that's changing. That's changing because our white brothers and sisters are coming in now, and they're buying up properties that have long been dilapidated and torn up and unkept and so forth, and they're building it up now. Does it matter what it's called, or do we need to look at the substance of what we're talking about? What do you think about that, 8112?
I think you need to look at the substance. And people need to stop labeling certain areas, even though some have the conditions than others.
Right.
Now, the one that they have the conditions.
Right.
They just talking about it.
Yeah. And see a lot of that.
But they won't pinpoint the rural area. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, and because you got a lot of poverty in rural areas, a lot of poverty. So tell me this then, 8112. Why in those rural areas aren't those people shooting and killing one another like they are in the urban area? Can you help me understand that?
I did not say it didn't happen there. Those are the rich kids that their parents show where the rifles and things are. Understand that? they doing it. You just don't hear it. Well, you probably do. A lot of us on the outside looking in don't hear about it because they have hush-hush money.
Well, but I'm talking about poor whites now. Poor whites that live in rural areas. Farm-type areas. Yeah.
Even on the farm, they can have somebody you won't even know they did it because they ain't looking for them quite as hard, I don't think.
Okay.
But they're
okay.
expecting this out of a certain area is my point. They expect
yeah.
for a certain area to have more crime rate. And
yeah.
when you got people that's unemployed and people done got fired, maybe some of them unnecessarily, and kids running around attending themselves, some of them, have problem.
Right. Interesting.
It's completely
now that's interesting because at 10 o'clock at night, I don't care who you are, if
mm-hmm.
you're on a major street after
mm-hmm.
10 p.m. by yourself and you're under 18 years old, something is wrong. You're
mm-hmm.
not going to work. You're not coming from work. And you're just hanging out on the street. Something wrong with that, right?
There's a whole lot wrong
that's
with that.
That's not normal, right?
No, that's asking for trouble.
That's what I'm talking about. That's, but somehow, some of our people have normalized it as if they got a right to be there. And shouldn't nobody say nothing to them. Especially when it's a school night now. I mean, you ought to be having your little behind in the bed somewhere. And you understand, I'm getting ready to get up in the morning and be ready to be
mm-hmm.
engaged in academic learning.
That's right.
Well, so you can't tell black people how to live their life, though, Outkast. You trying to tell us, you sound like a Republican because you trying to tell us how to live. What about
you? Yeah, well, all I can do is laugh on that one. You know, that's a problem. That's a real problem.
But it is. And it goes back to what 8112 is saying about allowing people to label what you say and what you do such that they talk you out of doing it. Some of our people just need some loving, in a loving way, 8112, need some instruction. We need to change, Pastor Waller, our behavior. Because what we've been doing ain't working for us. I'm sorry, it ain't cutting the mustard. It ain't cutting the mustard. Now, that's one way you can keep a young man from having to engage the police, isn't it? Not have him out there. All right, look like we've been joined by 5497 out of New York, I think that is. Welcome to the conversation, caller.
Hey, how you doing, Dockery and everybody
good,
else?
Good.
Hey
yeah,
there.
This is open mic.
Yeah, I tried to find you on Facebook. I couldn't find you guys for a little while. I couldn't find y'all. But you were talking about the difference between the urban and the rural. We got several differences. First of all, you know what? One of the differences is police. In the urban, you got people mm-hmm. that's living out in the suburbs that don't know the way of life. They really don't care about the way of life. They're only trying to do a 9-to-5. And now they got their mindset to the race, to how the race is living in the urban area
mm-hmm.
where they got to work at. So they come over here. They can't empathize on the way of life and the struggles that people are going through, whether it's good or bad. And, and frankly, they don't even know the laws. They think they're gods patrolling the area. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
But in the rural areas, these people grew up together. They lived together. Like one house may be here and another house may be, you know, farther distance than how the houses are located in the urban area. We're so close. So these people, they grew up together. So, you know, if he arrests somebody at night, you know that so-and-so's son, well, I'm not going to take you to jail. I'm just going to drive you over to your parents' house. You shouldn't be out here, blah, 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 blah. And they're the same race.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? In the urban area, they pick you up. Oh, he can be out here anyway, and he's black, or and he's Puerto Rican.
And
he might be in the game. Boy, get on the ground, let me search you.
And whoop your butt.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what they do. That's what they do.
Hey, New York. New York, hold on, man.
Huh?
Now, would you agree, though, New York, that there are oftentimes, more often than not, that young people should be under the supervision of their parents and not on the block? Would you agree with that, though? I'm talking about in urban America.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be totally honest with you. The way it is, the way society is, a parent can't be around a child all the time. It's up to that parent while that child is growing up to instill good values, because you know what? You can't play helicopter over your child, because when you're not there, they're going to fall for anything. They're going to fall for anything. So, you know what I'm saying? If you are just steady putting walls around your child, when those walls are broken, anything can happen to them.
I take your point that when they're not with you, you can't protect them. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're trying to say?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And then plus when you're raising them up.
Well, hold on one second. Here's the promise, New York. Here's a promise, New York. Proverbs 20 chapter says, train up a child in the way he should go. Then it goes on to say, and when he's old, he will not depart. I'm just stupid. Maybe I'm just crazy, but I believe that, man. I believe that if you plant the seed and you nourish it, you ain't got to worry about him, even when you're not around.
You ain't got to worry about it. So if you raise your child right, ain't nothing nobody can tell you about your child that he's out there doing, because you already know in your heart what your child is doing. Now, some people, some parents are in denial and they fight against that, but they know the truth. Now, if you raise your child, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. And you really weren't there listening to, when they're out, no matter if they're being hanging around gangbangers, no matter if they got to go to school and they go past people selling drugs or whatever, they're not going to sway. Because they have it in their heart and in their mind. It's not, well, the environment is causing the child to act this way or whatever. Parents today are going to be friends with their kid. Trying to talk and play with them.
That's the problem. That is a, I see it all the time. That is a big problem.
What's that?
And then another thing is, it's the society. Back in the day, if I did something wrong when I was a little kid on the west side of Chicago, before I got home, I got my butt whooped about 8 or 9 times. And then as soon as I opened that door, if that phone rang, he was doing what? Did you get him? Okay. I'm going to get him right after I got off this phone. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a village to raise a child.
I get you. Let me hear what 8112 was saying. She was saying that was a problem. Man, look at the time. We got about 10 minutes, guys. Go ahead, 8112. What were you saying?
I had to say this. Whoever made the comment that a lot of parents, not all, but in 2018, reality says there are so many parents, and I see it quite often, so busy trying to be their child, grown or ungrown, friend. They don't forget about being the parent and allow the child to be their so-called friend.
Okay, interesting. Interesting.
Blanking out again, Pastor.
From day one.
Yeah, I see.
Never be late. Hello? Hello?
Go ahead. We're getting a little snap on that phone now. I don't know how.
My mom always told me, like when you said about the job, when you were talking about the boy working at McDonald's, my mom, that reminded me of a conversation that my mom told me when I got my first job. You know what? Impression is the most important thing.
Freaking
100%. You don't worry about what nobody else say or whatever nobody else do. As long as you can come home and lay your head down and know that you did 100% with the gift that God gave you, you had a good day. And whatever happens, the doors, God is going to open doors that no man can close and close doors that no man can open.
So
don't worry about what everybody else.
Can we part with this thought? If we all agree
on what is best socially, physically, and spiritually for the health of our children. And we teach them that, we hold them to account on that. And we set that as a standard, that reasonably all of our children can be prosperous. Is that a fair conclusion?
Yeah, but a parent has to be totally honest. You can't be in denial with your child. You know your child better than anybody else.
That's
true.
That's true. But, I hear you. I agree with you. But I'm asking, can we all agree? Look like we lost. Okay. But Pastor Waller, 8112, and my friend there, can we all agree that if we set a standard spiritually, physically, emotionally, for all of our children, and we held them to that standard, that reasonably we can expect some productive things from all of them. Is that a reasonable conclusion?
Yeah.
I don't think from all of them. Logically speaking, no. I don't think from all, because you know what? It didn't start with you, and it won't end with you. Meaning, in other words, it starts with home first. Always has. Don't mean the parent is teaching their child the wrong. You can give them any the best instructions you have ever did the best you can. In other words, make long story short, some people are going to be just who they are.
Well, okay. All right. Let me go to Pastor. What do you think about that, Pastor? Do you think that's too utopian? Too unrealistic, Pastor, to assume that if we all, the three of us, said we're going to set this standard for all of our children, and we're going to teach them that, we're going to encourage them, we're going to reward them and hold them to that. Do you think it's reasonable for us to expect all of them to be productive and prosperous? That's why.
If it was all being trained up in the same manner on a one accord, I mean, if that was a community thing, our kids, as was spoken earlier about what would happen to a person who's out of line, you know, they would get a whipping and get another whipping when they get in, things like that. So if the instructions are laid down, because most people don't know anything about training up a child in the way they should go according to the Word of God, but just in general, they do, and they do the best they can with the kids sometimes, and they venture out a lot of times and go astray in some manner. But if, like you say, if, you know, you had three parents that was in agreement and they was training the community kids in a manner of good instructions, great examples and things like that, would it be appropriate to agree to do it? I would say, because there's nothing in the way that can cause them to go astray. But if there's anything that's in the way that you can practice, it may cause them to I say, for with God, nothing can be impossible. So I like to believe that that's what we do need more of, you know, the willingness to together like that, you know, get that kind of information out there to the kids. They're very deserving of it.
Okay. I hear what you're saying, 8112, that there are some people who are who might stray. Let's wrestle with that a little bit more. We only got 5 minutes now, but can we wrestle with that at Thursday a little bit? Can we take that back up Thursday at 8112? Okay, because that kind of reminds me of the prodigal son we just talked about. And you got two sons, one going to do right and the other one, you know what I'm saying? It's just hard-headed. What you do with that hard-head? Hard-head makes off. That's what I heard, make that booty
song
when you got a hot
dog. I was told our lessons are better than told. When you find me, I know what you've been through then.
Watch out. And so here's the question I'd like to raise for Thursday. At what age do you need to tap that booty so the head won't be hard when you get off? That's a good question, ain't it?
Yeah.
But give us a final thought there, New York, and then we're gonna roll out of here and let Pastor while the stick is home. Yeah. Final thought, big brother. Glad you joined us tonight, by the way.
I'm glad to be here. I wish I would have got on a little bit earlier. So I just joined there. I was trying to find you guys. But you know what? I think if people would just train their child and first train them in the Bible. Even though some people don't believe in the Bible has a lot of good spiritual food.
Yes, sir.
For someone to
yes,
learn
sir.
To grow. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Train them that way.
Right.
This is right. This
right.
is wrong. This happens if you
right.
do this. That's the consequence. And then
right.
when
right.
you love someone, no. If they have been doing something, don't always stand on that. If my child is doing something, you see him doing it, you discipline him like he's as long as you're not killing him and being rightful, you do what you have to do if you see my child doing something. And then you tell me, and then I can put the nail in the coffin of that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just the way I was.
Yeah.
If every parent do that with their child, we'll be in a better place. Also,
all right. Okay.
It's not just the child. It's this government. The government does it. And I'm not. And I said this last week too.
Okay, we got to,
it's the government,
hey,
man.
Hey, let's talk about that Thursday, man. That's a good point. That's a good point. But we got two and a half minutes.
All right.
I appreciate where you're coming from. I appreciate where you're coming from. 8112, give us a final thought, please.
I just wish, I know we are for a long road ahead because it's called Revelations. However,
yeah.
You guys are doing a wonderful job. Just do with the best you can and work with what you got, which is the good Lord,
sure.
which is a lot. So
amen.
That's all I can
say. Did I tell you I love you? When was the last time I told you I love you?
Just now, and I love you back.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Pastor Wallace,
right.
Take us home, man. Give us a final thought.
Yes, sir. Man, I thank God for all of you, man, everybody that had a chance to talk and to say everything that they had an opportunity to say. And the thing that I would love to leave with everyone is what it says in Psalms 121 in verse number 1.
Mm.
It says, I lift up my eyes unto the hills from the summit I have. Amen. I think in times like this, we need some help. So if we just send it up
yes,
to him, man, speak to him and ask him to guide us and things like that, then we can get the communities back in the perspective that they deserve to be in, man. And that's
right.
just something that I believe. But since a lot of us don't know and don't reach out according to the word of God, we have to kind of put it out there in a manner to let them know that it's okay to tap into the word of God because he's willing and able to help us help ourselves.
Yes, yes.
Glory
okay.
to God.
Okay.
All right. Well, God bless. We're going to come back Thursday night. That's New York got me on the run. Man. He got me on the run. We're going to bring mm-hmm. that back Thursday night now about the knucklehead child, how to make their behind soft, you know. But in a loving way, man, in a loving way. Meet us Thursday night, 7 o'clock, for another episode. New York, you're probably looking for me on Facebook. We weren't doing live, so we hope to be able to do that Thursday night. Okay, we'll see you guys then on Thursday, another episode. Talk to you.